Today, on Off to the Races. Maryland bred Sweepstakes Laurels and the All Brandy. Charlestown's biggest live card of the year draws near. And the East Coast's only racing fair is set to kick off. All coming up right now on Off to the Races.
We're off to the races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. On the web at www.theracingbiz.com. And on the radio every Saturday morning, it's Off to the Races. Here's your host.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Off to the Races Radio, powered by The Racing Biz. My name's Frank Vespi, and for the next 60 minutes, we're going to be talking thoroughbred racing and breeding here in Maryland, across the Mid-Atlantic, and around the country. Today's show, as always, powered by The Racing Biz. TheRacingBiz.com is the website. We got the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatnot. Look for at The Racing Biz. That's where you'll find us. We also got a free mobile app. Get that from our website for your Apple and Android devices. Get it on the Play Store and Apple and all the stuff. So you can always keep up to date with Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Never miss a trick. Free mobile app powered by The Racing Biz. Got a great show today. Going to be looking ahead a little bit, looking back a little bit. Several great guests, so stick around. Got a couple stakes at Laurel Park today for Maryland breds. We got the All Brandy for fillies, the Find for the colts, and the geldings. Well, and fillies too, if somebody wants to take a swing, although I don't believe anyone is. I think it's just colts and geldings in the Find. Both of them on the turf. Going to be talking about the All Brandy a little bit later with trainer Michael Gorham. He's got Downtown Katie in there. This is also closing weekend at Laurel. They're going to race today and tomorrow. Because of that, it's mandatory payout. All wagers got to pay out on Sunday. So if there's any carryovers, keep an eye on that. They have to pay out. After Laurel closes, racing's going to switch to Timonium for 7 days of live racing at the Maryland State Fair, spread out over 2 weekends. Their director of racing, Billy Reitler, is going to join us about 10:35 or so to discuss this and preview the Timonium meet. You know, the 7 best days of the summer, that's what they say. Also this weekend, we got racing at Delaware Park, at Colonial Downs, and at Charlestown. And speaking of Charlestown, track announcer Paul Espinosa going to join us to help preview the Charlestown Classic card. That's coming up August 25th. Paul's going to join me about 10:15 or so to scope it out. It's quite a card. A lot going on there. I also want to mention we got a free handicapping contest today on theracingbiz.com. The contest features the first 8 races from Colonial Downs. Get those entries in by 12:30 to participate. 12:30, free handicapping contest on theracingbiz.com featuring Colonial Downs. Shout out and thanks to a couple of our program supporters, including the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, Wanamakers.com online horse auction site. They got an auction coming up just a bit later this month. True Valor Stallion Standing at Northview. And Richard Hackerman, attorney at law. Thanks to all of our supporters of this program, of Off to the Races Virginia, of theracingbiz.com. We appreciate all the support. All right, some news from last week before we get to our interviews. They held a couple of turf stakes last weekend at Laurel. They had the Searching for 3-year-old fillies, the Bald Eagle Derby for 3-year-olds. I tell you what, the Searching, absolute 3-way thriller, goes to Bowley V. Here's Dave Rodman on the call.
Outside Naval Empire, Sperling Beog picking away through in between horses. Same for Cecile. Bowley V really quick turn of foot to the far outside is coming. Here comes Bowley V. Bowley V from last. Bowley V and Cecile down to the inside. Bowley V and Cecile. Close finish. Bowley V and Cecile. Bowley V and Cecile and Sperling Beog chimed in very late to make it a 3-way go in the Searching Stakes.
This is the first stakes win for Bowley V. Fergal Lynch in the irons for trainer Brendan Walsh. In the Searching, and the Bald Eagle, Dataman, and Jorge Ruiz sprung the 12-1 upset for trainer Graham Motion. Graham felt like he had a little bit of secondaitis. We had him on the show last week. Felt like he had a little bit of secondaitis there, but but gets the money in the Bald Eagle. Now, Colonial Downs also hosted its biggest day of live racing ever last Saturday. Ever. First time the track had ever hosted a Grade 1 race, and it went all in. It hosted two of them. The big one was the Grade 1 Arlington Million. That went to set piece with Florent Giroux in the irons.
Adamo is let loose down the crown of the track. They still got to come get Strong Quality. Who leads them? Strong Quality into the stretch. Santina is running a big one. Here comes Set Piece, who was last early on. Set Piece rolling by everybody. Set Piece on the outside hits the front. Santina back to second along with Adamo. It's Set Piece and Florent Giroux. They catapulted past rivals. Set Piece going to win Virginia's Maiden Million. Set Piece by two.
That was Jason Beam on the call there at Colonial Downs. Set Piece trained by Brad Cox. Here's his assistant, Katie Tolbert, talking about the seven-year-old Set Piece, who really has become a barn favorite.
Really awesome. He's such a hard knocker, and he always tries. He always runs well, and sometimes it doesn't set up well for him, and so it's really great to have this. And we all love him, and he's been around for forever, and it's great. He's just got such a cool personality. He's easy to deal with. He's easy to ride, and he always tries. And I love a closer. I mean, I know not everybody does, because sometimes it doesn't work out your way, but it's exciting when you see him come running.
One race prior to the Million, Fev Rover won the Grade 1 Beverly D to earn herself a spot in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
Fev Rover, Gina Romantica trying to get through down on the inside. It's just too tight, though. I don't think it'll come to the outside. Fev Rover shifts over to the rail. Gina Romantica switches to the outside. Two more back to Roman Yamia. Fev Rover just keeps on going, though. Fev Rover, Javier Castellano, another big one. And Fev Rover going to win it by 3.5 in the end.
Fev Rover ridden a victory there in the Beverly D Stakes by Javier Castellano. He also won the Grade 2 Secretary aboard Virginia bred Gigante. Coverage of that in the racingbiz.com. All of these wins came just a few races after he got bounced around pretty good in the gate. Nick Hahn, the host of our sister program Off to the Races Virginia, caught up with Fev Rover's trainer Mark Cassie about the plan to get her to the Breeders' Cup and a lot more, including Castellano getting bounced around pretty good in the gate. Here's a few minutes with Mark Cassie.
So I've kind of come up with an idea. She's going to go back to Woodbine next week. That's kind of where she's been based. And look at the Canadian, which is, I want to say around the 8th or 9th, somewhere around there of September. And, with eyes on the EP Taylor in October before the Breeders' Cup. So what I'm trying to do is get two races into her before the Breeders' Cup, give it in with about 30 days, roughly 30 days between each race.
The win on Saturday capped a three-win day for you, along with a Glider and Pouncer of all horses. Pretty exceptional day, Colonial Downs. Moved you to the top of the trainer standings. These big days must be fun.
Oh, they are. You just never know what to expect. I flew in with all the riders that morning, and I thought Glider had a decent shot. I thought Bouncer had a shot to win. I thought there was one horse that he had to beat. I felt about as confident as you can be with a horse with Fev Rover. I just thought she kind of was the class of the race. And the one conversation that Javier and I had on the plane, we were like, there isn't a whole lot of speed in there. And that's one of the things that can separate, a average type horse from a good horse is the good horse a lot of times doesn't need any help from the makeup of the race. So if there's no speed, she goes to lead. If there's a lot of speed, she'll sit back. She can kind of do whatever you want her to do, and that's one of the things that makes her so good and so effective.
As we're doing this interview, Colonial is racing their card on Friday afternoon, and Antonio Guiardo, who had two of those wins, already has one for you today with Boom and Bell. It's great to have Castellano deliver those wins, but Guiardo has done a great job for you, Colonial.
Yeah, well, Antonio is, you know, ridden for me for a long time. He's been at Tampa, you know, for a long time. He's usually my choice there at Tampa. He actually has ridden some, came and rode at Woodbine. So yeah, him and I have been teaming up for a long time, but he's an extremely good rider. And I know he's always going to give me his best and, you know, great ride on Glider the other day and Bouncer. Bouncer lived up to the name. It was a bouncy race. So
it's a good thing Castellano wasn't riding him because he had to bounce early in the day.
Right.
Starting gate with the one earlier, but I was glad to see everybody was all right.
It's funny. We were flying home and it was a rough ride home. The weather was bad. And Javier said, it reminds me of my mountain, the sixth. Because we were going up and down. And yeah, I kind of laughed at that. I thought that was quite clever.
The next big day at Colonial Downs is the Virginia Derby. We see you had a Web Slinger nominated for the Secretariat Stakes.
Yeah.
Any interest in the Virginia Derby?
I don't think so. You know, Web Slinger's ran long and he's ran hard. I'm really just looking at maybe giving him one more start this year, and it's probably going to be at Belmont. That last race on the soft turf was kind of hard on him, and he was tired afterwards. So I think we're going to just sit chilly and give him one more race, the Gold Cup Derby, something like that, at Belmont. Actually, I think it's at Aqueduct, but it's supposed to be. Yeah, you know, I can't keep track of that.
That was trainer Mark Cassie there. Mark and his trainee, Favrover. Favrover becomes the first horse to win a win, and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, taking the Grade 1 Beverly D Stakes at Colonial Downs, part of the three key races, making that the biggest day in Colonial Downs history, as we alluded to earlier. So good stuff there from Mark Cassie. Still to come on Off to the Races Radio, going to visit with trainer Mike Gorham. He's going to be up at the end of the hour talking about the racing at Laurel Park Saturday afternoon. He's got Downtown Katie in the All Brandy Stakes. Billy Reitler going to join me in between now and then. He's going to be here to talk about racing at Timonium. He is the director of racing for the Maryland State Fair race meet at Timonium. So still lots to do here on Off to the Races. Now, speaking of the biggest day, we just had Colonial Downs' biggest day in its history this past weekend. Looking ahead, this coming Friday, it's August 25th, going to be the biggest day of the year at Charlestown Races, the Grade $2 Million Charlestown Classic, Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks, bunch of other supporting stakes. It's going to be a huge day at Charlestown, and we did receive some unfortunate news this past week when we learned that Art Collector had to be euthanized because of complications due to laminitis. Laminitis, a painful condition of the feet that often ends in euthanization for horses. And Art Collector, the two-time defending Charlestown Classic champion, who was being pointed to an effort at a three-peat, unfortunately euthanized this past week because of laminitis. He was also a two-time Grade 1 winner and earned over $4 million in a terrific career for owner Bruce Lunsford and trainer Bill Mott. So obviously will not be at the Charlestown Classic, but several other horses will be. And our next guest going to be Paul Espinosa. He is the track announcer at Charlestown Races. He'll tell us who is pointing to the Charlestown Classic, plus some thoughts on the passing of Art Collector, and as well as looking at some of the other races on the Charlestown Classic undercard. Here is my conversation with Paul Espinosa. Paul, good morning. Thanks for joining me on Off to the Races. We're just around a week out, a little less than that, from the Charlestown Classic, Grade 2, coming up on Friday. You told me you had a kind of an interesting scene on Thursday. You had one of your classic contenders working under the lights. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so good to be with you, Frank. And, Brittany Russell, obviously a local-based powerhouse trainer. She's planning on bringing Doppelganger up for the Classic. And so one of the variables that obviously a lot of trainers and horses have to deal with when they come here for the Classic is racing under the lights. Not many horses have had the opportunity to do that. And so she went ahead and tried to take out one of those variables by getting him a drill in between the third and fourth race on Thursday night, and worked 46-3, galloped out in 59 and change, pulled up in 114 and change. So it was a solid work. Horse was looking good. Obviously, he's a grade one winner. It took the Carter Handicap earlier this year, and going to be trying the three-turn configuration for the first time, obviously, but looks like he's coming into the race in good form and should be one of the main contenders, certainly, for this year's edition.
Yeah, and the other thing you just mentioned, the three-turn configuration, that's kind of the other big variable for a lot of these horses. They will not have tried that before, and I do kind of feel like over the years there have been a couple of major players that kind of got to that third turn and went, wait a minute, am I not done yet? So interesting to see how he will handle that, but that sounds like a pretty impressive work. It must have been pretty cool to see that out on the track in the middle of your card.
Anytime you can get a grade one winner on the track there in front of you, it's definitely a cool sight to see. I'd like to think no matter what track you are at, but especially at Charlestown. And I know from a timeliness standpoint, you mentioned the third turn aspect. And I know yesterday up at Saratoga, they ran the Rick Violet. And that was one of the things that he swore by was when he brought Diversify down for the Classic, that and I believe it when you watch the race, he was traveling in hand and completely fooled me, because by the time he hit the far turn for the final time, the horse just stopped running. Like I believe it was Irad who was on him, and he hadn't even moved his arms yet, and all of a sudden he's just dropping anchor. And so that was one thing that Rick had sworn, that he believed he was a smart horse and that he could count, and he counted two times and thought that his job was done. So, again, if anybody could get inside their heads, they'd be a very rich person. But it's certainly something to keep an eye on for every contender in this year's event.
One horse that is proven going three turns is the local hopeful. That's Maudib for trainer Jeff Runco. He ran second in this race a year ago and has won the West Virginia Breeders Classic, another three-turn event. So he is proven at this now. Paul, for me, you look at the PPs and it seems like he's maybe an inch not as good as he was a year ago. But I feel like you have been saying that you don't see that you think he's, kind of right where he needs to be coming into this. Talk about Maudib a little bit.
Yeah, so this is just one of those hills that I think I'm just going to have to die on, and we'll see if it ends up being in vain or not. But, when I looked at his last race, in particular, I felt like I saw a horse that, yes, he obviously was facing much, much, much inferior competition than what he'll be facing coming up in the Classic. But I felt like he did it pretty easily. He passed all the horses that he had to with ease. And then I'm kind of looking at his ears as he comes through the stretch, and it looks like he's just sort of playing around. And he has never, in my opinion, been a horse that is going to draw off and win by an impressive margin. He seems like a horse that kind of waits on competition, and he certainly, seemed to idle in the stretch of his last race. The race before that, I felt like he was closing. He was having to close into maybe a speed favoring track on the loose on the lead horse and Hero's Man, who I feel like can kind of get brave on the front end. And then if you look at his first race of the year in the Confucius Say, I just felt like he probably needed a race. And right now there's no shame in losing to his stablemate Coastal Mission, who will probably be the favorite, I would think, in the Russell Road coming up on Classic Night. But I feel like compared to last year, where he just had one prep coming into the Classic, he should fitness wise certainly be in a better spot. And it's just going to be a matter of, if he has taken a step back, if maybe, running behind Art Collector last year, finally tasting defeat, if that took a little bit of the starch out of him. But I believe that he's going to be sitting on his best possible race. And I guess time will tell if that is a dumb opinion or not.
Well, if you back it up with some dollars, you may be pretty happy at the end of it. So and I think, I think Jeff Runco, his trainer, is really good at getting a horse prepped properly for one race, like to get a horse. I think he's really good at getting a horse, you know, kind of pointing in a race and getting his horse ready for that race. And this has obviously been the plan for a while. I did want to ask you, you know, you were there a couple of years ago when Running to Love You won the Classic. What does it mean to you and the folks at Charlestown to have the local hopeful, the West Virginia bred, come and run big in this race?
I think it definitely says a lot for the breeding industry as a whole here and how far it's come here in West Virginia. And it's also great because obviously from a local standpoint, you know, everybody, it's sort of a double-edged sword. It's like people do get very excited when the big names come here to Charlestown for this one mega night. And we have had some fantastic names over the years. But at the same time, you know, it's also great to you know, as a reminder, one of the quotes from Tim Graham's after that event was that it was a reminder that anybody that walks through that gate, you know, on the way to the track has a shot. And if, you know, there was nothing that said, you know, whenever they bred Fiberson to their broodmare, I know that was Leslie Cromer, was the breeder front to Love You. Nothing said that this horse was going to be able to win $1 million grade two race against some of the best horses in the country, but sure enough, it happened. And so it's just a reminder that, you know, the dream is always there, no matter who you are. And so I feel like, again, it's always great when the locals get to take on the big boys and girls and show that they can hang. And so certainly the crowd, I know who they'll be rooting for come Classic night.
I'm sure that's right. And one sad note to touch on the Classic is we learned this week of the unfortunate passing due to laminitis of your two-time champion of this race, Art Collector, who I know was being pointed for a three-peat. What did Art Collector mean to the race?
Oh, it was a real gut punch whenever we found that out earlier this week. You know, with what he was able to do, obviously coming to the race, winning it the first time, and then proceeding to win the Grade One Woodward. Obviously had a couple hiccups after that, and then comes back, wins it a second time, and then lo and behold, you know, he wins the Pegasus, you know, World Cup Invitational, which is, you know, in theory the best race of the season for the older horses, the best of the best, and our horse, if you will, won it. And you know, he was like a four-legged billboard for us. And so many of these big horses that do come here and have success, they serve as sort of a, you know, like I said, some advertising for our product and you know, the type of horses that we can get to run here at Charlestown. And again, it's one of those where I know racing, it certainly shoots itself in the foot from time to time, but for these connections were just a reminder of what is great about the game. I mean, Bill Mott, just pure class. Bruce Lunsford, you know, from top to bottom, that organization is just fantastic. And it just was a really crushing blow for a horse that, you know, again, obviously was going to be odds on to, you know, become the first horse ever to win three Charlestown Classics. And for it to end like that, just, again, thoughts and prayers go out to Bill Mott and his team and all those who cared for the big guy.
Yeah, no, it's a hard blow. It's a tough game for sure. Talking with Paul Espinosa, track announcer at Charlestown Races, hosting the biggest day of their season on Friday the 25th. Let's skip to a different race here, Paul. Let's talk about the Pink Ribbon for a minute. You've got what looks likely to be a matchup of defending champ Frank's Rocket and last year's Charlestown Oaks winner Society. This is kind of exactly what you hope for when you have a race like the Pink Ribbon and a race like the Oaks to get the winner to come back the next year.
Absolutely. This was like you said, an absolute dream scenario. Obviously kind of got a little bit of an assist when Echo Zulu won up at Saratoga the way she did. And so, you know, you're not going to have as many horses signing up to take her on in the Ballerina. And so, obviously, among them are her stablemate Society, like you said, defending Charlestown Oaks champion. And then Frank's Rocket was defeated by Echo Zulu up there, and she obviously has shown that she has an affinity for the track. So, I mean, this might be one of the best non-Charlestown Classic or Oaks races that we've ever had here at Charlestown in terms of just a one-on-one matchup, if you will. And obviously, you have to run the race, to, you know, no disrespect to whoever else shows up. But, I mean, this has a chance to be a showdown of epic proportions, because both of these fillies are just absolute nails. Society obviously has, I'd say, a little bit of an edge from a, you know, the style standpoint of, you know, just having that natural high cruising speed. But Frank Schrockett, no slouch of her own, 21 times in the exacta in her life from 28 starts. So that's certainly going to be one that I'm very much looking forward to, and it will be a nice prelude to the Oaks and the Classic.
Yeah, this is a heavyweight fight for sure. Frank Schrockett, a multiple graded stakes winner. So Society turned around after the Oaks last year and won the Cotillion impressively. So she's a legitimate racehorse. This should be quite a battle if everything goes to plan. Let's talk about the Oaks for a minute. Headliner looks to have been a horse who was recently second in the Grade Two Black Eyed Susan.
Yep, Hoosier Philly is one that we have kind of had our eye on for a little while now, and me in particular, because I just so happened to get to call her win last time out down at Ellis Park in the Monomoy Girl. That was the week I was filling in for Travis Stone down there, and you know, just the way that she won that race and just her high cruising speed, I just felt like she would be a perfect fit for the Charleston Oaks, which again is now the richest three-year-old filly sprint stakes in North America. And so that obviously, you know, with that being said, we feel like, well, we were certainly shooting for getting fillies of this caliber, and very happy that we're going to be getting her. She just, I think, put in one of her final major pieces of work earlier this week for the race. And so again, I think she's a filly that has that same type of Society upside, where, you know, I know obviously Tom Amos was very high on her from the start. She was the very early Kentucky Oaks favorite. Kind of got off track a little bit early this winter, but seems like she's kind of rounding back into form, and I think that she has that future Grade One win in her, and it'll definitely be great to get her here for the Oaks and what should be a loaded race. I think that again, looking forward to having a very nice field to look forward to in that event.
Yeah, she's an interesting filly, as you alluded to. I mean, she was ultra impressive as a two-year-old. Things kind of went sideways for her early in her three-year-old campaign. But then I felt like the Black Eyed Susan was a good effort, a kind of a bounce-back effort. And then she turned around and won the Monomoy Girl at Ellis Park. So it seems like now she's kind of back to where they want her to be. This will be, I think, a good test for her. If she's the filly that she kind of showed last year, she probably wins here, do you think?
I would think that, again, she's going to be very tough to beat as long as she breaks. Obviously you have to figure out, see what the other pace is going to look like in there. And obviously a lot of folks know that you don't necessarily come to Charlestown to take your horses back. You know, I think it's, it's always a benefit to have some natural speed. And so we'll see how fast she has to go early. That's the one in my opinion, great thing about this race is that, you know, while it is technically a sprint race, you do get to kind of combine maybe some horses that, have had some two-turn experience versus some sprinters that are going to be maybe stretched out a little bit beyond what they have in the past. And just because of that two-turn configuration sets up for a very interesting pace scenario. And so I definitely will be planning on Hoosier Philly being the morning line favorite. Just how big of a favorite, we'll have to wait and see who all signs up to take her on. But it should be, like I said, a race that I'm very much looking forward to. And I could very much see her following. I know I've mentioned it, but I could see her following that Society path of the perfect spacing from the Charleston Oaks to the Cotillion and getting back over that mile and an eighth journey and adding that Grade One to her resume just like Society did.
All right, Charleston Classic, Charleston Oaks, Pink Ribbon, and a bevy of other stakes coming up Friday at Charleston Races, Friday the 25th. Early post on Friday, 5 o'clock. Paul, what should fans who manage to come out to the races, what should they be looking for?
So gates are going to open up at 4 o'clock. Again, obviously it's free admission as always at Charlestown. Going to have a lot of great activities planned out on the apron. I know there's going to be some contests going on, lots of food trucks as well. There's going to be a beer garden. There's going to be live music. Apparently, I'm not as dialed in as I probably should be to the music acts, but I've heard that this year they've really stepped up their game with who they're bringing. I believe one of the bands is Dumpsta Funk. For those that might be familiar, hopefully I'm not butchering that name, but I know that was one of the headliners that we're looking forward to. So should be a lot of fun. I'm kind of chuckling here. Obviously, I know that we're probably a little short on time, but it's funny to think about the idea of Charlestown hosting a Breeders' Cup sprint winner, and we didn't even have time to mention him. It's CZ Rocket apparently is going to be pointed to the Russell Road for trainer Peter Miller, and it's just a statement on how far the product has come. And again, so it should be a great night of racing top to bottom. 9 stakes races, $2.9 million. So the great West Virginia bred races supporting the program as well. The Robert Hilton this year got a boost to $350,000 for the 3-year-old boys. So again, if you love horse racing, and even if you don't, and you just want to have a good time in the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia, Charlestown is the place to be on Friday, August 25th.
All right. Good stuff, Paul Espinosa. Thanks so much for joining us. Good luck on Classic Night, and we'll definitely be looking forward to seeing you there and seeing what should be a great race card.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Frank.
That was Charlestown track announcer Paul Espinosa. Biggest day of the year at Charlestown Races coming up August 25th, post time 5 o'clock, featured race, the Grade II $1 Million Charlestown Classic. Make sure to check it out. If you can get out there, get out there. Otherwise, check it out online and maybe drop a wager or two. What the heck, right? Should be a great day of racing. Always a lot of fun. Looking forward to it out at CT. Still to come here on Off to the Races Radio, powered by the Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. Trainer Michael Gorham going to join me. Oh, he's coming up between 10:45. So the last, he's going to be sort of hitting cleanup for us today on Off to the Races, talking about Downtown Katy and the All Brandy, his Grade One winner that he had a number of years ago, and just kind of what's going on in racing in general. Good conversation with Mike Gorham coming up a little bit later. But right now, I want to turn our attention, and you were just talking about what's happening Friday at Charlestown. What's also happening Friday right here in Maryland, Timonium. Racing at the Maryland State Fair, been going on for almost 140 years, resumes once again this coming Friday, post time 12:25 out at the Big T. I'll be there, and so will our next guest. Our next guest is Bill Reitler. He is the director of racing for the Maryland State Fair, and he kind of gives us the lowdown on what to look for. Here is my conversation with Bill Reitler. Bill, good morning. Welcome to Off to the Races. Thanks for taking a couple minutes to chat with me today. I wanted to start you with this question. What is Timonium's sort of place in the racing universe? It's the only fair meet left in the East, and kind of what role do you see Timonium as playing?
Well, our role in Maryland is to introduce fans to the sport. We have 500,000 people that visit the Maryland State Fair every year. And, we're doing things to promote Maryland racing and breeding. A lot of people come to the Midway at the fair and the Cow Palace, where we are dedicated. How do we get them to visit racing and hopefully participate racing as future owners and breeders of thoroughbred horses? So that's what we see our mission is for the industry in Maryland.
It is an interesting thing. You talk to a lot of horsemen who grew up in Maryland, and they did have their first experience at Timonium. It's kind of an uncanny connection.
Yes, that's true. Myself included, fond memories of racing at Timonium. Training my dad's horses, and I'll never forget.
Now you, so when you were training your dad's horses, was that back when Timonium was running 42 days?
Correct. That was back in the mid 70s. Yeah.
So that must have been quite a thing, a 42 day meet at Timonium. It's hard to imagine these days.
Yeah, yes, it was. Just about all the trainers that were stableyard participated. It was a special time in the racing industry, as you know. We've always gotten, and we continue to get nice-sized crowds at the races, which are lacking now. But, you know, the Maryland State Fair race meet, you know, is a boutique item. Fans can get closer to the horses here than anywhere else. You know, we're doing some innovative things. We started College Day where we give scholarships, $10, $1,000 scholarships, which are sponsored by horsemen and farms. And, you know, we're giving grooms awards for every race. We have pony races, you know, at the fair prior to the races on the September 2nd, I believe it is. So we just really enjoy, you know, people can enjoy a nice family experience and visit racing, and then also, you know, also go to the other side of the farm and, you know, see the animals and equipment exhibits. But it's a, you know, it's a great part of Maryland tradition, and I think racing at Timonium has a history of around 139 years.
That's quite a history, 139 years racing in Timonium. Now, you mentioned College Day. Talk about that a little bit. When is it, and how do students who might want a scholarship, how do they get involved?
Well, I noticed, you know, some years ago, I've been on the board and director of racing for 6 years, and actually from, you know, participating in the sales at Keeneland and all, I noticed during the Keeneland meet, during the spring meet, it was a pretty big deal amongst the college students, and just kind of copying off of Keeneland with their College Day and what they've done with their awarding scholarships. So we copied that off of Keeneland, and you know, there again, it's popular, and you know, we're just trying to see if we can help some of these young fans take that first initial step that may lead to racing and breeding. I mean, after these people start working and accumulate some funds, and you know, to invest and become come to the industry.
And which day is College Day? Is it the first Saturday?
College Day is the first Saturday, August the 26th. Students have to sign up on the Maryland State Fair website. They can go to that and sign up by 5 p.m. the day before August 25th. And then, you know, they have to be present during the races on the 26th, I believe they have to sign up before 2 p.m. on the second floor of the grandstand and see Sally Ellen there. And then, you know, each person gets a ticket, and we put the tickets in a raffle barrel, and we, you know, we have 10 raffles to in between the races to award the scholarships. The students attending are get wagering vouchers to gamble at the races. They also get a meal ticket and programs for the races.
Talking with Bill Reitler, Director of Racing for the Maryland State Fair. The Maryland State Fair race meet at Timonium taking place starting August 25th. That's this coming Friday, running Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the following Friday through Monday. Now, something a little different this year, Bill, I understand you have two stakes on the calendar. What are those races and when do they take place?
Correct. On our College Day, August the 26th, we have the, the Timonium Distaff, a filly race going 6.5 furlongs for fillies, 3-year-olds and up. And on September the 2nd, the second Saturday, we have the Timonium Juvenile for 2-year-olds open, going 6.5 furlongs. And yes, both purses are $75,000 added, plus an extra $25,000 incentive for Maryland bred or sired horses.
right, a pair of $75,000 stakes taking place each Saturday of the meet. Also have something fun on the second Saturday, September 2nd. That's going to be Hall of Fame Day, where we're going to induct Ben's Cat and the other horse's name escapes me at the moment.
Mountain Dew.
Thank you. Into the Maryland Thoroughbred Hall of Fame. This is kind of a nice tradition that's evolved over the last couple of years, Bill, having the Hall of Fame at Timonium. I think one of the things, going to your earlier point, one of the things that's neat about it is you get a nice crowd out at the races and you expose people to some of these great Maryland breds of years gone by.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
What other events you got planned for the race meet at Timonium?
Well, just mainly, I mean, you're a big part of it. You know, you're doing handicapping, and we also have some on-air interviews, and we have Fran Burns doing stable tours prior to the races. She does a great job with her and her staff there again to get people right up close and personable to meet these horses and trainers and jockeys. We also have Ladies' Day at the races on August the 25th. Connie Smith is in charge of that. Her husband Larry is a trainer, and they're both breeders here in Maryland. It's something that an idea Connie came up with, and she's leading the way with that. People can contact with her there again, go on the Maryland State Fair website for that. Also, my partner in this, Bill Marlowe, the chairman of our racing committee, he's a longtime member of the board and a very good gentleman and horseman, has a lot to do with our meet.
All right, so Ladies' Day coming up the 25th as well. Two stakes on the docket, MarylandStateFair.com. For more information, College Day, all kinds of stuff. We'll also have plenty of coverage on theracingbiz.com. Any last thoughts on the Timonium race meet, Bill? Looking forgward to it.
Yeah, almost forgot. Also, on August 26th, we're doing a seminar for the Equestrian Association of Maryland. This is an event for Asians, people of Asian descent that are interested in getting involved in racing. We're going to do a seminar. You're going to be the moderator, and Mike Pons from Country Life Farm will be on the panel. I'll be on the panel, and Larry Smith will be there also. And we're hoping to get some interest among those people, which is a different sect of people that work here. Many of them work for the government or around in and around Washington, and trying to just get some new blood and new fans to the sport of racing.
All right, lots of good stuff. A lot of efforts to increase racing's fan base and sort of promote the next generation of horse racing fans and horsemen and women. The Timonium Race Meet coming up starting August 25th. Bill Reitler is the director of racing. Bill, thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thank you, Frank, and thanks for everything that you do for Maryland Racing and Timonium.
That was Bill Reitler, director of racing at Timonium. Timonium, the Maryland State Fair Race Meet, opens Friday, August 25th. 12:25 first post at the Big T, and 7 days of live racing, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, followed by Friday through Labor Day Monday, 2 weekends of live racing at the Big T. Looking forward to it. I'll be there. Bill Reitler will be there. Hope you will be there as well. We are now up on our final segment, but before we get there, just do want to mention we're having a free handicapping contest on the Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com today, Saturday, featuring racing from Colonial Downs. Got to get those picks in by 12:30. Get them in by 12:30, racing at Colonial today. First eight races on the card are the races in our contest. So check it out, The Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. Free contest, handicapping contest featuring Colonial Downs. All right, as promised, trainer Mike Gorham going to join us. Mike has Downtown Katie in the All Brandy Stakes this afternoon at Laurel. He's a grade one winning trainer in his career. He's won a lot of races, having a good year too this year as well. He's a New England guy originally, now plying his trade at Delaware and in Maryland. Here's my conversation with trainer Michael Gorham. Mike, good morning. Thanks for joining me here on Off to the Races. We got Downtown Katie in the All Brandy Stakes this afternoon. Let's start with the obvious question. How's she doing? How's she coming into it?
Everything's good. She's training well. She's had a pretty good season this year. She won first time out, and in all her other races, she's been right there. So she's a trier. She gives 100% every time she runs, so hopefully we keep it up today.
Yeah, for sure. I assume, I think we'll be on the turf, but if we're not, I assume she comes out, or what do you do?
Yeah, she's pretty much turf only. It seems she's much better turf. Even training-wise, she just trains okay on the dirt as far as breathing and that. But when she's on the turf, she's all racehorse, and she just gives it all every time.
Yeah, she's been top three in eight consecutive races, which is quite a nice streak. I'm curious, you claimed her for $16,000 last June. What did you see when you decided to drop a slip on her? That was, I think, her first start of the year.
Yeah, I knew her from the year before, and I knew she had some tough trips, and she had been turned out, and she was a fresh horse, and we decided, let's take a shot. She's Maryland bred, and she has all the conditions, so we just took a shot, and I knew the filly where she was a good size filly, and decent looking filly anyway, so we decided to take a shot, and it so far it's worked out.
When you go in to claim a horse, you mentioned having the conditions, and for our listeners, that means she hadn't won an allowance race, and so you still had that in front of you. You had the Maryland bred allowance in front of you, which you got earlier this year. But do you typically look for horses that still have conditions? How important is that to you?
It's important. Obviously you always want a horse that can run, really run, but if a horse thinks you have upside, where the conditions will at least pay for the horse, and if the horse is just a horse, you're still okay because you get out with a couple of conditions. She was a never one two when we claimed her, so she won the never one two and three, so she's well paid for,
which is something you always want to do. And I guess, if she were to win a race like the All Brandy, then she really starts to move into a little bit of a different place, at least in terms of how you would assess the claim. I mean, then she's really, really positive.
Yeah. We decided to take a shot in this race, and, hopefully it works out. It's an aggressive move, but she deserves it. She's run well at Laurel, and I think she'll run well. She's training as good as she has since we've had her. So I think this is the time to take a shot, and if everything goes well, and we could point towards the Maryland Million.
Yeah, I mean, she certainly fits in this group. I mean, she's 3-1 on the morning line, and one of the horses, that's got shorter odds, the girl from Ireland, who's 2-1, is a horse you lost to, but you also beat a couple races ago. So obviously she fits in this group. How do you handicap this race? I'm going through it, and I'm going, who's on the lead? Like, where's the speed going to come from? How do you see this race shaking out?
that's a little tricky. You know, I'm hoping that there is a little pace in there, which help us out, you know, because obviously we don't have a whole lot of speed and really don't want to show a lot of speed and want to just run at the end. But I'm hoping some of the horses that, you know, that maybe will get a little aggressive and see there's no speed and want to set a pace that's a legitimate pace. So if hopefully we'll set it up for us and hopefully we get a good trip. You know, stay in on the rail and, you know, try to save ground as much as we can and try to get a home run, really.
Yeah. Well, and you've got Jamie Rodriguez in the irons, and he's obviously, you and he have been doing well together. He's been doing well for everybody. And so I would imagine you got to be pretty happy. You got the kind of rider who can work out a good trip and then finish well.
Yeah, Jamie's a great rider, and I have the utmost faith in him, and, you know, I kind of leave it up to him, and he always seems to work out a trip, and you never see him get in too much trouble, you know, and he's patient and when he needs to be, and he's aggressive when he needs to be, too, so, you know, I'm sure he can work out a good trip tomorrow and get it done.
Talking to his trainer, Mike Gorham, who's got Downtown Katy in the All Brandy Stakes Saturday afternoon at Laurel, 3-1 morning line on Downtown Katy, who should be running at the end. Now, Mike, you've been having a pretty productive year so far, 28 wins, 18% strike rate. You're third in the standings at Delaware. How's the year feeling from your end?
Everything's been going pretty smooth. We, you know, got a good, decent crop of horses. Nothing that's outstanding, no big serious stake horses, but we got a lot of useful horses, you know, and, you know, some young horses with conditions that they're winning and, you know, some older horses that are grinding it out too. And so I think we got a well-rounded group of horses and that's the way the game is. If, you know, you get the right horses in the right races, and you're going to win races.
Right. The problem is when all those horses with conditions have used them up, and then what do you do, right?
Right, exactly.
Do you have any, you got any two-year-olds in the barn we should be keeping an eye out for?
Right now I just have two-year-olds in training, and they're not real close to a race. Two horses that came out of the Timonium sale, and right now they're both training well, and you know, but we really haven't got to the bottom yet. But everything's going forward with them, and hopefully we can get them to the races fairly soon.
Speaking of the Timonium sale, I want to spin you back about 20, 25 years. You picked up a horse named Mandy's Gold in the May two-year-old sale at Timonium, I think in about 2000 for $87,000. She went on to be a grade one winner and a millionaire. Tell us a little bit about your experience with Mandy's Gold.
She was a very good filly, and right from the day we got her, she showed that she had a lot of class and a lot of talent. You know, from the first time I worked her at Delaware Park, it was, you know, the sky was the limit. So, and she proved it. And every time we led her to the races, she gave everything she had and never ran a bad race. You know, always was ready to go when they sprung the latch, and, you know, she had speed. She could come from off the pace. She wasn't going short. She wasn't going long. She was the total package.
And I guess you and I have bumped into each other a number of times at the Timonium sale. I guess you're always on the lookout for another one of those, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I think everyone is, really. So that's why you go to those sales, though. It's you know, you never know what you're going to run into. You know, even if you go there and you get a good allowance horse for the right price, it's well worth going to those sales.
All right, I'm going to ask you an unfair and really hard question now, since you have stalls in Maryland. Any idea what's going to happen in Maryland racing over the next couple of years here with this racetrack operating authority and the state of Pimlico and the state of Laurel? Any thoughts on what's going to happen?
To tell you the truth, I have no idea. You know, it's kind of crazy to think that the state of Maryland's in this spot, and I always thought that Maryland racing would be secure for a long time, and now it's a little shaky, and you know, with ownership and the plans for the future. So I'm optimistic that we will get something done and keep racing going, and because Maryland is always been great racing, and it needs to stay. You know, as long as Thoroughbred Racing races, we need to have Maryland racing.
And we need to get it back in your home area too, right? We need to see some racing in New England again at some point.
Yeah, that would be good, but I think that's a tougher task than we're dealing with here in Maryland. I would like to see it, but I'm not that optimistic about the New England racing as I am about Maryland racing.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think ought to happen? I mean, I kind of think the future probably portends maybe not racing 170, 180 days a year in Maryland, maybe a little more restricted schedule, a little more sort of circuit around the region. What do you think?
I'm not sure what the real answer is. It just seems like, you know, there's less horses to go around. You know, the cheaper horses don't last as long. You know, when they get cheap, people can't afford to keep those type of horses, so they find them new careers. And, you know, there was always a rounded, you know, group of horses where everywhere from 5,000 to stake horses. And, you know, the cheaper horses you really can't afford to keep in training with the cost of the whole game, and unless they're running really well. So it's shortening down the stock that we have. So I guess the racing will have to shorten down a little bit too, and it's just going to be survival of the fittest of, you know, who can really stay in the business.
Yeah, it's a tough business. It's a tough business for horsemen and horse owners for sure. All right, Mike Gorham, I'm going to let you go. Good luck with Downtown Katy. Hopefully get a little black type.
All right, Frank, I appreciate everything, and yeah, hopefully we get lucky, and she runs a big race.
That's going to do it for another week here on Off to the Races Radio, powered by The Racing Biz. Thanks so much for spending a little bit of your Saturday morning with us. As always, we appreciate it. Thanks, of course, to our show's supporters, including Richard Hackerman, attorney at law, the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, True Valor, standing at Northview Stallion Station, and Wanamakers.com online horse auction site. Thanks to all our guests on this week's show. This week we featured trainer Mike Gore, Bill Reitler from Timonium, and Charlestown track announcer Paul Espinosa. You can keep up with racing and breeding all week long on The Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. Tune in next Saturday at 10 a.m. here on Baltimore Positive to hear the independent voice from Mid-Atlantic Racing and Breeding. My name's Frank Vespi. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you in the winner's circle.